Hello, I'm Kara Kinsler, and you're listening to Inside IASB, a podcast series that explores leadership and education topics as they relate to school board responsibilities. The Illinois Association of School Boards, IASB for short, invite guests from Illinois public school districts to offer insight about current and best practices. In this series, IASB Field Services Director Dee Molinari and I explore a set of guiding principles that describe the fundamental duties of board service for close to 6,000 school board member volunteers elected or appointed to oversee their public schools. The Illinois Association of School Boards, which serves nearly 850 boards of education, call these the foundational principles of effective governance. We will unpack each of the six principles to help listeners understand what they mean, their significance in the oversight role of the school board, and how they are actually put to work in a functioning school board. Dee, in our first episode, we talked about the foundational principles of effective governance, what they are and how they came to be. Now I'm excited to learn more from you and from our guests about each of the six principles. So let's start with principle one. The board clarifies the district purpose. This states, as its primary task, the board continually defines, articulates, and redefines district ends to answer the recurring question, who gets what benefits for how much? Effective ends development requires attention to at least two key concerns, student learning and organizational effectiveness. So we talked to Sauk Valley's Community Consolidated School District Superintendent Donna Leek and Board President Tammy Jones about this foundational principle. But before we jump into those interview clips, I have some questions for you, Dee, based on your expertise working with boards of education as a field services director for IASB. So first, can you explain to listeners what is meant by the term ends and maybe give a couple of examples?
Sure, Kara. As you stated in the first foundational principle, the board's primary task is to define, articulate, and redefine the district ends. The word ends is a bucket word for the district's core values and beliefs, the mission, the vision, and the goals. The ends provide clarity of purpose and clear direction for the district. With well-crafted ends, the board empowers the staff to focus on the means or the how to progress toward those prescribed ends. In other words, the board speaks to the what and the superintendent works on the how to accomplish the what.
So when a board clarifies the district purpose, is this the same thing as a mission statement?
So the mission statement, as well as core values and beliefs, vision and goals, are a way for the district to record the district's purpose, direction, priorities, and desired outcomes. Those ends are written into board policy.
And so is it normal for ends to change? And if so, how often?
Over time, you can have possible tweaks to the ends. The timing and extent of the changes would be up to a district. However, the ends cannot have frequent major changes. From our interview with CCSD 168, we learned that their mission, vision, goals have been in place for the past 8 or 9 years, with some revisions. Board President Jones talked to us about the more recent revision and six key words. In the clip we are about to play from that interview, you'll also hear Superintendent Lee talk about how those words are understood as a staff. They are not just transactional. They are really deep within the system, which is so important as you lead the district.
And so our mission, vision, goals have been in place now for probably 8 or 9 years. We did them with Jeff Cohn when he was our field service director. And possibly 3 years ago, we made just a slight change to the mission. And so our mission speaks to inspiring, challenging, and supporting every child every day to meet their greatest social, emotional, and personal potential. And the one word that we felt we needed to change was to add the word achieve. And so basically, on a daily basis, when we're making decisions across the board and our superintendent and her administrative team are implementing and processing what we've desired, we stick to inspiring, challenging, supporting for academic, emotional, personal. Those six words out of our mission is the main focus.
And the one thing that I will add to that, One of the things that we've been trying to do is really brand ourselves too. So a few years ago, we came up with the hashtag D168Excels. So every time we post something on Twitter, we always do the hashtag D168Excels. So the board actually added in the word Excel into the mission statement so that it was connected back to our branding. So if you look at our mission statement, it speaks to that the mission is to excel by inspiring, challenging, and supporting every child every day to reach, to achieve their greatest academic, personal, and social potential. And so it used to just say, to reach as opposed to achieve. So that says, President Jones is speaking. So we added in Excel and the board changed from reaching to achieving, but it's those six words. And if you ask our teachers, our staff, it's you inspire, you challenge, you support, academic, personal, and social. That those are the six words that are key to everything we do. And every single thing has to run through that lens in order for it to be brought to the table for us to discuss. And as we sit, even at our cab, we have executive cabinet meetings every Tuesday. And if it doesn't meet those six words, then why are we doing it?
One other word that jumped out to me during this interview is that they use the word every student and not all. I think this really gets to the fact that they are attempting to be in tune with each individual student. That resonates with me as I encourage districts to use each or every student in my equity work. We also ask them how their goals are framed around those six words. In this next clip, Superintendent Lee talks us through the goal alignment within the system through the superintendent, the building principal, the teacher, and ultimately to the student.
The way that we do goals is the superintendent has goals embedded in my performance expectations. And then each of my cabinet members have those same goals connected to that. And then each of our principals have goals connected to that. And then each of our teachers embedded in their evaluations have goals connected to that. So for example, our goals surrounding student achievement. So for us, that goal is centered right now on our MAP assessment. And that, so my goal is at least 50% of our students will meet their RIT score or higher between the fall and the winter assessment. So then when you look at my principal's goals, they have goals connected to what percentage. We actually go through their students, I mean, individually, and say, okay, what percentage of your kindergarten, first graders, second graders. So then the principals will have a goal associated with each grade level. And then when they meet with those teachers, those individual teachers will have goals associated with the particular students in their classroom. And so, and we do that because ultimately we can't get where we need to be if we aren't all on the same page. So my cabinet, each of my cabinet members, they have student growth goals. My director of instructional services, my director of special ed, their growth goals. So for example, special ed, his growth goal is associated with children who are in our special education program. Instructional services, she's got all students plus our bilingual student population because our bilingual coordinator reports to her, and embedded in the bilingual coordinator's goals are our information for the bilingual students. And so then we actually take all of our goals, and in the summer, we have a week-long retreat for administrators. And during that window, we add on and develop our action plans around each of those goals. So those goals are in, for the team, it's in, of course, student achievement. We have technology growth goals embedded in there. We have our budget growth goals, which everybody's responsible for. We also, the only goals that my team is not necessarily associated with that's in my evaluation is connected to board superintendent relations. Everything else we are all accountable for. And we roll up our sleeves and develop, and our action plans are SMART. They're very specific. They're based on measurement. So you can't just say, we're going to increase technology. No, you have to say, so for example, one of my principals, her technology goal is related to what percentage of her teachers she will actually give professional development and then see in the classroom action associated with expanding the Google Earth platform in the classroom. So they're very specific. They're measurable. They have to be attainable because we can't have stuff out here people can't reach. They have to be results oriented. So everything goes back to how are we making sure that all of our students are successful, and then they're time bound. Like, so all of our action plans have, this is what we're doing. These are action steps. Here's who's responsible. Here's the result we expect. Here's when it's supposed to happen. And that's how we keep ourselves in tune in measuring that we're headed towards students, student success. So if you look at our district-wide goals, they're academic, technology, budget, safe learning environment, and then community and parent involvement. So those are the categories, which you will see that on our website. What you won't necessarily see on our website are the specific numbers and the measurable goals that we have embedded in our planning and in our evaluations.
President Jones also speaks to how the board stays informed.
For the board, and in the process of all of this, when we set the goals, most times we get the major review when we do her check-in for evaluation, and then ultimately her final evaluation. But throughout the course of the year, we receive these weekly updates that gives us, if we're working on MAP, we know when MAP is taking place, how many students have tested, how many haven't. And then when the MAP scores come in that final hour, we get a full report from the superintendent and our,
data coordinator.
Data coordinator, there she is. We get a report for that. If we're talking about curriculum, then there's a section in superintendent weekly update that tells us this is where we are with curriculum. This is what we're looking at. This is what we're testing. So those updates come through the weekly update. So we're constantly informed of what's happening, but then ultimately when a decision is ready to be made, they come before the board and we get a full synopsis of where we started, why we chose this one, and why they're recommending it to the board. So we're always involved in the process of knowing before it happens.
It's important to board superintendent relationships, and it helps the board to effectively monitor district performance and organizational success. President Jones also said that during the onset of the pandemic, their district, quote, did not miss a beat, end quote. Dee, when you look back on the last 2 years of the COVID-19 pandemic and increased focus on student learning, how important is it for districts to have clear roles and purpose clarified?
Over the past 2 years, I have worked with maybe close to 100 school boards. Something that has been a recurring theme during this time I've worked with the boards is that the boards that understand their role and adhere to the role, delegating authority to the superintendent to work on the how, were able to continue to pursue the district's ends.
Well, it was great to hear from the school leaders at Community Consolidated School District 168 in Sauk Valley to help explain how districts clarify what it is they want and why this is so important. We thank Dr. Leake and Ms. Jones for their time. How does a district know what they want? We hope you'll join us as we unpack IASB Foundational Principle Number 2, The Board Connects with the Community. Dee and I will share what we learned from Community High School District 230 in Orland Park. All of this and more on the next episode of Inside IASB. Thanks for listening. Please share and follow Inside IASB podcast episodes available at www.iasb.com/podcast. We welcome listener feedback. Thank you.